Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone and welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Josh, joined as ever by the man who plays everything, Scott Tailford, because I don't know if you've heard, but The Last of Us has had a major blowout over the past couple of days. We've got new info, we've got new trailers, we've got brand new theories.
Everything.
Scott, is Joel going to die?
No, I've come around on this. I had a huge theory as to how he was, if you look at the version of Ellie that's in the Ellie's edition, she's sitting on a concrete slab, clearly that's not her on the bed. Clearly it's her in the future, reminiscing back to when she was in her bedroom. Joel was in the doorway, which he isn't back in the, you know, he's already left the encampment. So he can't be there at the time. He must be a ghost. But then, in the gameplay stuff that's out there now, characters are talking about him being in the encampment in Jackson. So he was always alive.
This wasn't rehearsed. I had no idea you had all that to just reel off your brain.
I have a lot to say. You've
got a lot to say about The Last of Us, but we're not actually talking about the story mode today, because last night there was an update that the Last of Us multiplayer mode, Factions, is not going to appear in The Last of Us Part 2, which to me was kind of a shock, because they have hinted at it before in interviews. They said that they were working on a multiplayer component, but then last night they announced that it won't at least ship with the base game of The Last of Us 2, but they have been working on something. We just don't know what it is or how it's going to release or when it's going to come, but they did sort of reiterate that The Last of Us Part 2 is their most ambitious game they've ever made. It's the largest game they've ever made, and multiplayer was not getting in the way of that, but they wanted to focus entirely on delivering. Oh, you're a man of surprises.
I just need to get this shirt out. I'm such a fan of this shirt, so I need to get it out. We're doing Last of Us news. I'll bust it out. I saw Neil Druckmann wear this once, and I was like, I need that exact shirt. I didn't kill him, but I went and got it.
Yeah, you did.
Not from him. But as part of this whole sort of media coverage that came out after the initial trailer that they put out at the State of Play, loads of different journalists got to go hands-on. There was a whole presentation from Neil Druckmann. They sort of doubled down that this is a single-player experience, and that's the way that they're going. But since then, Naughty Dog have taken to Twitter and sort of like allayed fears that there is a multiplayer mode coming for The Last of Us 2. It's just not part of the main game. They said that coming out of the first game, they were working on the whole Factions thing. If you haven't played Factions, that game brings in a whole bunch of social media data, sort of like populates your little like enclave that you're taking care of with your actual friends' names to give you a reason to go do supply drops and things like that. So going forward, they said that they had a whole bunch of different ideas on how they could build that mode out, but the way the development went, they wanted to focus on the single player and that multiplayer would come later. Yeah. So Druckmann and Naughty Dog, their official statement is that they are doing a Last of Us 2 multiplayer. It's just not in the Last of Us 2, the part 2 thing that we're getting.
Which kind of makes sense. We've seen a couple of games over the past few years sort of go down a similar route where you prioritize the single player at first, then you might update a multiplayer component into it, which is like what I think they would do. Mm. I know there have been rumors. I was talking to Ewan, for instance, this morning, and he worried that the game would be released later on as potentially like a free-to-play thing that could have, you know, aggressive monetization aspects, and that could definitely happen. Mm-hmm. I hope. The optimist in me hopes it'll just be a sort of update in the same vein as Metal Gear Online was for Metal Gear Solid 5, or, you know, GTA Online was for GTA 5.
Well, my kind of general thoughts on it is that annoyingly, that would make perfect sense. Not the free-to-play model, but I think if they released it as Last of Us Factions, you could do the whole standalone thing, you could do season passes, you could do all the stuff that the likes of Rocket League and Mario Kart Tour and whatever are doing, you know, where you have those sort of login bonuses and things like that. You could totally do a season-long of updates in terms of bringing the social media stuff in and be like, oh, this person is in, I don't know, this person needs saving this particular month, or you had more interaction on Twitter with this person, therefore this is your most valuable target, or whatever. There's data to bring across that way.
I didn't even think about it in those terms, because Factions was awesome. I really, really loved it, to be honest.
Yes,
but the biggest draw for me was that social media side, you know, bringing in your friends list, watching them either live or die because you were either good or bad in, you know, games. And I didn't even think that they could expand that across a sort of seasonal, you know, constantly updating world where people come in and people come out. It interacts with, like, you know, your real world data. Mm-hmm. That's a cool idea. I kind of hope they do that. It does make sense that they're just focusing on the single player for now, though. I think that's what most people are, you know, waiting for anyway, even though The Last of Us Factions had, you know, its fan base. It wasn't the main draw for most people, I don't think.
I mean, when it broke last night, because me and Jules were sort of like still in the office when it broke, and he was like, oh man, I'm so gutted, I'm so disappointed. And I was like, yeah, like, I still like, you know, recognize that it sucks that it's not in there, but I don't care that much. Like, a lot of the Fallout Online's been like, oh my god, the game's ruined, and I'm like, really? Like, come on, man. Like, the reason people fell in love with The Last of Us was not the multiplayer. It's a very solid multiplayer mode, but we're not, like, it's not what the game is. Like, come on.
If that trailer, say, from that we got the other night, ended with a sting of, you know, factions is coming, I wouldn't get chills for it in the same way I got chills seeing Joel again for the first time in 5 years.
And I mean, for me, like, it's the Last of Us Part 2. It's the Part 2 of the story. It's not Part 2 of the multiplayer. And I guess you can argue that that was an assumption. And again, the factions mode is very solid, but I haven't even thought of the multiplayer since they've been rolling this stuff out. I'm entirely in on what are you doing with the world going forward, what are you doing with the characters going forward, the evolution of the Cordyceps virus, etc. No part of the conversation until now was the multiplayer, and I get that it's a weird way for it to roll out as this sort of like snippet from one of the Naughty Dog members that was being asked in an interview, and they said, oh yeah, we're not doing it this time. That's a bad way for them to roll that messaging out. They could have done that way earlier in the game and said, don't worry, it's coming later. And it does feel like PR control with them sort of tweeting something now. But for me, it's like a 90-10 split. I'm in on the story way more before that I care about the multiplayer again.
Yeah, and I think if it was separate, it just makes each part of it stronger for me. If you do have factions as its own separate larger thing that isn't diverting resources away from the main game, and then you don't potentially dilute that Last of Us Part 2. Because I mean, when it comes to sort of multiplayer kind of like expansions, essentially, back when Last of Us 1 came out, every single player game had this kind of tacked on multiplayer mode.
Yes.
And the factions was much more than that, but still at the same time, you kind of want to focus, in my opinion, on one thing, especially when it's a game like this, which has so much riding on it, so much expectation, and it's so ambitious. Like, you need to get that right. If people even think that they were diverting resources away and focusing on a multiplayer mode a bit more, that's going to be blamed. And even if that's not true, it's not a good look for Naughty Dog. You know, they're going to be annoyed if it's not, if that's not the case, it's going to sort of, you know, impact the way people view the game as a whole.
Yeah, and plus, like, unlike the vast majority of publishers, Naughty Dog have the luxury of time. Like, it's like them, Rockstar, CDPR, like, they're some of the only publishers that can literally, developers, that can sort of put the walls up and say, no, we're ready when we're ready. And they have the sort of clout in the industry, or with their publishers, obviously in their case it's Sony, to just say, look, give us enough time and we'll do it. And I think that it makes more sense if you're a bunch of developers, a bunch of creatives, you're all in on the single player thing, perfect that, and then apply all that knowledge and R&D and everything else onto the multiplayer, and the multiplayer will be even better going forward, and they can put more resources into it overall. It makes more sense to do it. And plus, they've experimented with so many multiplayer games or multiplayer modes in the past that have always felt like tacked on stuff, even if they weren't. I like Uncharted's multiplayer as well, but those games are known as single player games with multiplayer, as opposed to here's the Last of Us multiplayer mode, and it gets to have a whole rollout, showcase, trailer, everything else.
That's what I was going to mention, actually, because even though I love factions, the Uncharted multiplayer never grabbed me across any of the games. I probably played 4 the most, but even that, it was good and it was very solid. It didn't feel tacked on, but at the same time, you still had that same mentality of, oh, this is a single player game and it's got a multiplayer if you want it. It's not the main draw. Whereas I think splitting these two up, if that's the way, you know, they go with it, you let each one shine in a much more robust way. Then you don't just view it as, you know, the extra mode that came with The Last of Us 2, like how, even though we love it, that's how we talk about factions from Last of Us 1. We think of it, oh yeah, there was a Last of Us story. Oh, and then it had this kind of great, you know, multiplayer mode. No one really played. If you separate them, you get to focus on each one and, you know, enjoy the fruits of that delicious labor.
I think it only benefits everybody going forward. It just means that you have to wait a bit longer. But hopefully The Last of Us 2 will be good enough to tide that over anyway.
I hope so.
You have another piece of news, Josh.
I do. Let's segue unorganically into the next piece of news, because we found out this morning, or maybe last night, that Frogware, the studio who brought us the likes of Sherlock Holmes, the latest The Sinking City, they just released that earlier this year. A lot of their games, a lot of their detective games, including the Sherlock Holmes series, have been delisted and pulled from storefronts across consoles and PC because their publisher, Focus Home Interactive, won't transfer the rights over to the studio now that their deal has ended, which was it's something that should just happen naturally, and apparently Focus Home have said that they have a policy that they don't do this, but then Frogwares are kind of saying, well,
we actually built the game.
We built the game. We own the IP. No one told us about this policy. It wasn't included in our contract, but we can't do anything about it. So they've essentially released this sort of open letter to fans and anyone who can actually help. You should definitely go read that, you know, essentially just being like, look, these games are gone. This is our livelihood. This is how we, you know, support ourselves. Because they're not like a huge, huge developer, but they make solid, kind of ambitious games. And it sucks that they're getting sort of essentially squeezed out.
First off, I will totally champion that Sherlock Holmes Crimes and Punishments is one of the best crime games you can play this gen. Yeah. I absolutely love that game. But also, it's weird because if you're going to sort of, if you're the publisher and you're trying to sort of hang on to stuff, obviously they're just going to say, well, it's a policy and we don't change policies, yada yada. But there's been a couple other high profile examples of this that went the other way, like when IO Interactive left Square Enix with Hitman. They were allowed to keep that. When Bungie left Activision, they were allowed to keep Destiny. So it's like, well, those bigger publishers, whether they have practices in place or not, still didn't obviously see the value in that IP going forward, but assumedly Focus Home sees some value in the Sherlock Holmes IP, or it is just as basic as, well, this is written into the contract and we're just not going to change
it. Well, that's not, because it says, here we go, a quote from the actual open letter says, as the creators and IP owners of all those games, we have no control and no one saying this. The decision of Focus Home left us voiceless. So that sort of, you know, they're actually saying that they own the IP. It's just those past games that Focus Home are not renewing or keeping up, which is just seems kind of, you know,
just wasted revenue.
Wasted. Why wouldn't you? So, you know, obviously they can create more Sherlock Holmes games, but if you don't have that, like, base, like you said, Crimes and Punishments was one of, like, the best ones. That's up for at least until September 29th, but that could be taken down after that because that's when the licensing runs out and that could be just gone forever.
Depending on how this rolls out, I would totally encourage people to go at least check out Sherlock Holmes Crime and Punishment, check out some gameplay, see what you think of it. I had a absolute blast with it to make the most of it before, like, the end. At this stage, though, in terms of just us reporting on it, that other outlets have sort of picked up on this because the way that they've put this out, it very much is a cry for help.
Yeah.
It's very easy to just, like, look at it as a contractual thing, and it's like, look, you should have scoured your contract beforehand and known that this thing was coming up, but that's also kind of cold and completely gets away from the reality that these are the people that made the video games in the first place. And that, you know, something like this maybe shouldn't be the reason that they lose out on revenue and livelihood going forward. Because they said that, you know, their very livelihood as game developers is, you know, very much affected by this because it affects every one of their revenue streams. So it's pretty messy.
They sort of cater to not a niche, but they have a market in the sort of like gaming industry that nobody else is kind of occupying. It's cool that these games exist and are continuing to get made. Like, there aren't many developers like this who get to create like sort of these titles without the backing of a big publisher. Or whatever. It's sort of that like double A space that we talk about that is rapidly sort of deteriorating and stuff like this does not help and only pushes people towards either the biggest games or the smallest games, and you lose that lovely in between.
Which is the thing that everyone used to love about the last generation. You had so many games that sort of were that middle tier before we had this AAA thing this generation. But there are a lot of really cool gameplay ideas and the things that they've put out. Like I said, especially in Crimes and Punishments, it's literally you're putting cases together in Sherlock's mind to create thought patterns that result in the way that things can go and the different accusations that you can do and the different people you can bring in, and cases can end in different ways and everything. I always thought they were a really cool little developer, and it kind of sucks if they just things come crashing down where they're all of a sudden just cut off from the revenue streams that they used to make their livelihoods on and that people like me or different fans know them for in the first place. It would be a shame if this is the way that it shakes out in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you said, you know, there might be something in the contract, but they've said that, you know, they weren't told, there's nothing in there that they know of. This didn't happen in the past when the deal sort of like fell through. So it just seems to be a very kind of unique situation that we don't know everything about, but, you know, I want to help them in whatever way.
Of course, it's worth getting the conversation out. Hopefully it'll help them going forward, and people can weigh in with like what they sort of think in the comments as well. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. What do you think of The Last of Us 2's lack of multiplayer? What do you think of the game's balance going forward? And what do you think of Focus Home Interactive's different thing with Frogwares as well? For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. I eat all the words. For now, though.
Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.